May only His word be spoken, only His word heard. Amen. The heart of God from the gospel lesson for today. Well, this scripture that we're taking up today is one of the most revealing, one of the most important scriptures to show us the heart of God. John 3:16 is a well-known verse, well-beloved by Christians for a reason. It is the one that most lays bare God's heart. If you think about it, you really don't know a person until you know their heart. Isn't that right? I mean, in other words, their motivations. We can doctor up the outside of our lives, look like we're a really good person, and yet be hiding our true selves. God's heart, as He reveals it, is pure. 100% love. But do you perceive it? Do you trust it? Do you yield your heart to it? The human heart, on the other hand, is deceptive beyond all things, says Jeremiah the prophet. Who can understand it? Who can cure it? Jesus comes as a divine cardiologist, as it were. He cares for us. He can cure our hearts. He'll give us His heart. It's the very thing He came to do. Nicodemus, who I often refer to as Nick at Night, he comes to Jesus to try to understand the phenomenon that was this rabbi from Nazareth. Now, we should know some things about Nicodemus. He had some impressive credentials. First, he was a Pharisee, one of the religious elites of Israel. Two, he was educated, cultured, refined, decent. Three, he was almost certainly a member of the Jewish Sanhedrin or council. That meant he had power. Four, he was embarrassed to be seen with Jesus. That's why he came at night. And five, he really didn't know the heart of God. Nicodemus starts this dialogue with Jesus by declaring that you, Jesus, must be a teacher sent from God because nobody could do the miracles and the signs that you did unless God was helping him. And then Jesus answered abruptly, really not following the response of Nicodemus, abruptly, bluntly. He says to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you are born again, you will not see the kingdom of God." The Greek word would allow born again or born from on high, born from above. Now begins Nicodemus's befuddlement. It was like they were talking two different languages. I think we could understand his confusion. Many a Christian is puzzled by the term born again, and whether they are born again or they're not born again. Has that ever troubled you, the statement born again? Have you ever thought about it? Here's the thing about being born. You have no control over it. Did you decide as a baby, I was going to be born on a certain date? I mean, it's ridiculous. You have no control over being born. Now, some very depressed people wish they weren't born, but you have no control over that either. You couldn't cause your physical birth, and you can't cause the second birth either. Because Jesus is saying there's a physical birth, and there is a spiritual birth. You know, it's not surprising that Nicodemus is totally lost. His understanding of what made one right with God or to stay right with God is totally skewed. When Jesus said elsewhere, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice," the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, were completely lost. They didn't understand what Jesus meant. Nicodemus thought to be right with God was to outwardly do all kinds of good things according to the law and to observe the traditions that were passed down from Moses on. It didn't concern the heart. You may not like doing those things. You may not like doing the law, but you did them. And you did the required sacrifices, even if your heart wasn't in it. Saying you have to be born again robbed Nicodemus of the initiative. No matter how much he obeyed the law, something more was required, something he can't do, something he had no control over. Nicodemus's misunderstanding is so many people's misunderstanding. In the popular view of religion, well, we have to do more in order to be right with God, for God to love us. And so we get frustrated and worried. Have we done enough? Am I really of God? We start putting together a false equation. If I do a bad sin, bad things are going to happen to me and God's going to punish me. On the other hand, if I do good things, God will bless me. All of this leaves out our hearts and God's as well. Because we can do a good thing and yet our heart's not in it. Our heart would rather not do it. But it's supposed to be a good thing to please God. You know, something would happen to Nicodemus. We can presume this because the Spirit must have been moving in his heart. Because after the death of Jesus, he joined Joseph of Arimathea to anoint and prepare Jesus' body for burial. In fact, there's an astounding statistic. They brought 75 pounds of myrrh and aloes and then wrap Jesus in linens. From skeptic about Jesus to a love for him. That's the movement of Nicodemus. So, how are we to be born again? Let me say first, it amazes me how many Christians are unmoved by Jesus. Yeah, I said Christians unmoved by Jesus. Their hearts are not filled with love and zeal for him. Oh, they do good things. But their hearts are not in coordination with what they do. They may say they believe in him and acknowledge they have forgiveness and blessing because of his death on the cross, but there's no passion, there's no compulsion to want to worship him and to serve him. Now, before I get misunderstood, I'm not saying you have to be an emotional person. Some people are very muted emotionally, and that's okay. That's okay. That's their personality. There is a distinction between emotions and your heart, the way the Bible speaks of the two. You can be affected by your emotions, but not your heart. Here's the way the Bible talks about our hearts. The heart is the center of you. It includes your mind, your feelings, and your will. You can be a real syrupy Christian, loving, very emotional, and yet in your heart, you're filled with all kinds of bad motivations and evil. Have you ever known anyone like that? I know we don't want to be judging people, but I have known very emotional Christians who have cut down other Christians with their words and gossip. God says he searches our hearts. He also says he gives us new hearts, heart transplants. So we're back to the question, how are people born again? What brings the Spirit? What brings faith in Jesus and love for him into their lives? I think the Bible is pretty clear about this. Faith comes from hearing the Word of God. Faith comes from the Word implanted in us like a seed that grows and blooms and blossoms. Now there is the tangible Word. Augustine called it the visible Word, and that's the sacraments, baptism, and the Lord's Supper. It brings the Spirit into our life. It brings that new life. You know, I believe in infant and child baptism with all my mind and my heart. It makes us part of the family of God. Another time, another sermon, I'll widen this, expand this view scripturally. But we always have the right to reject the Spirit, ignore or dismiss our baptism instead of growing in the Spirit. Wasn't supposed to be that way, but too often it is that way. I was baptized as an infant in Baltimore, Maryland. And when I was raised by Christian parents, I really had a wonderful upbringing. And they surrounded me with church services, Sunday school, and a lot of prayer. But there came a time when I went on autopilot with my faith. I was dismissive of the Spirit's influence on my life. But I would have in the junior year of college what Luther calls an enlightenment. My born anew at my baptism was renewed. Let me say that again. My born anew at baptism was renewed. That's the enlightenment. The passions, the feelings for Jesus was reignited. I loved him. I loved what he had done for me, my salvation. I loved what he taught. I wanted to read his word and understand it. I loved others. God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit became weighty in my life, and they were connected to everything that I was about. My interactions with others and my decisions. And most of all, it gave me an overwhelming desire to want to worship him and serve him. I think that's the chief characteristic of being renewed and having this born-again relationship with Christ. Too many people are Christian in name only. They are unmoved by Jesus. Perhaps they are not born from above. Listen to the electric words from our gospel, our scripture. Let it be like a lightning bolt at this very moment. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Believe those words. Let them come into your heart. Let them shake you up. Renew you. Renew your baptism. Believe these words. Now, I will tell you, there is mystery here. There are things in which words are inadequate to explain. The wind, the Spirit, blows where it wills with everyone who is born of the Spirit. I know many of you would want to ask, and I ask myself, why does the wind blow here on these people and not here? Why? And I don't know. I don't know. I wish the wind would blow everywhere. The wind is out. The Spirit is out. I'll tell you what I would suggest that you do. Do what I do in most every prayer that I offer in my own life. I ask for the filling of the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill my life and take over my heart. Holy Spirit brings Jesus to us. He causes us to be born from above, and He continually renews us, renews our heart. That's what the Holy Spirit does. People without the Holy Spirit lag in their desire to worship the Lord and to serve Him. But with the Holy Spirit comes all the power that Jesus delivered to us when He died on the cross and He rose from the grave. The heart of God is revealed. He wants our hearts to be filled with His love, with His grace, with His Spirit. He wants that for you today. May the Spirit move in our hearts this very moment and cause us to want to praise and serve our Savior and Lord. In Jesus' name and to His glory, amen. Amen. Would you please rise? Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, now and always. Amen.